Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. First Chronicles, chapter 13, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, If it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering in of Hamat, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up, and all Israel, to Baalah, that is, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Kedon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark for the oxen that stumbled, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah unto this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, How shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself, to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, this is not an unfamiliar story to us. We've spent some time here before, because whenever we study the worship of God and what our reforming fathers called the reformed principle of worship or the regulative principle of worship, we learn that there is a proper order, a proper way that we, the people of God, are to approach God. And it's a difficult proposition to communicate in our day. I remember speaking to someone, I spoke to a lot of people over the years, but one particular person that I was speaking to, and I said, you know, we adhere to what we call the regulative principle of worship. And what that means is that when we worship the Lord, we worship only in ways that he has commanded, and we avoid those ways that he has not commanded. In other words, a command is tantamount to something to do, and the lack of a command is tantamount to a forbiddance with regard to the worship of God. And he said to me, and he was incredulous, truly, he said, well, you wouldn't order your life like how you worked or where you lived or what you ate for dinner like that. You're right, we wouldn't. There's not a light of nature argument for worship, except to understand, and don't we get this in every other kind of authority, no matter where it exists, that the authority figure has the right to set the protocols of approach to himself. Now, that's a light of nature argument, isn't it? But that's as far as that light of nature argument goes. I mean, talk to folks in the wide array of churches that we have in the West today. And they'll tell you, oh, we had a beautiful worship service. What did you do? Well, they'll have various things. Maybe they'll say we danced in the aisles. Maybe they'll say we had a choir and a dance troupe up front. Maybe they'll say we had a puppet show. Maybe they'll say we had this kind of entertainment or that kind of, and it was very meaningful to me, and so on and so forth. And I believe that they are utterly sincere in those expressions of appreciation. Did you hear that same kind of sincerity in the passage that we just read? Did you hear it? David said, let's start out by calling the Levites and getting a consensus throughout all the land. And if it seemed good to you all and to the Levites, let's bring the Ark of God to Jerusalem where it belongs, because we didn't inquire at the Ark of God in all the days of Saul. And that's wrong. So we need to bring that. We need to fix that. If we were there that day, we would have said, amen. We do need to fix that. Yes, that's a sincere desire to serve the Lord. So then we see the ark being placed on this cart. We'll talk about that in a moment. But what's attending that? Notice these great expressions of thankfulness to the Lord. There are singers. They're playing. They're dancing before the Lord. They're doing all kinds of things that in that day were proper, by the way, at the behest of the prophet David. All of these things are upright, at least as far as they go. And so what do we see surrounding this entire scenario? A wonderful amount of sincerity. A wonderful amount of desire to worship the Lord. All of that is true. Can't be denied. But then there's this one thing that happens. This guy, Uzzah. Do we think Uzzah is insincere? Do we think he's anything less than concerned for the safety of the Ark of the Covenant when the oxen stumble and the cart lurches to the side and he reaches up and puts his hand on it to hold it in place? Do we think he's anything but sincere? No, he is absolutely sincere. And yet, the narrative tells us that, quote unquote, he died before the Lord that day. Now, we don't get the resolution of this, why all that took place, until later in the book of 1 Chronicles. Does everyone remember? I'm sure you do. How they were told to carry the Ark of God from place to place? God gave them staves and rings and Levites to carry the Ark of God from place to place. Did they follow those directions from the prophet Moses? They did not. Instead, what they did was they put the ark on a cart. It's easier. We're going to get there faster. We won't have to give the Levites a break. Surely those poor Levites having to labor under that heavy, heavy box. I mean, about a 3x6 box with a gold cover on the top of it and two cherubim on the top of that. Heavy. Just four Levites carrying that. They're going to get tired. They're going to have to stop from time to time. This will be more efficient. This will be better. To human sensibilities, these are all good arguments. And to God, they were an argument worthy for someone to die, because they did not seek the Lord according to His commandment. They put the ark on a cart rather than being carried by the Levites. We don't have to understand why the Levites instead of a cart to understand the command for the Levites. You understand that? We don't, in fact, very often when we endeavor to peel back the veil, oh, well, I know why God said it should be carried by the Levites, and then we use that to unwind the command and to do something else instead. Instead of that childlike hearing and obeying. And so because they did not approach the Lord and His worship according to the due order, is how David will say it later, the Lord broke forth upon Uzzah and slayed him for touching the Ark of the Covenant. My dear brothers and sisters, This is what we call the regulative principle of worship. We come to God according to His commands in Scripture. The elders and I, if you ever have a question about why we do what we do in our worship services, we will sit down and from Scripture, from the mouth of God, we'll show you why we do what we do. Okay? Because we believe that every particular action, every element of worship, and I guess we could discuss the difference between elements and circumstances. I got a little bit of time. So an element of worship are the things that the Lord commands to be done. The singing of psalms with grace in the heart, the reading and exposition of Scripture, the preaching of the word, public prayer. These are all things that are commanded to the people of God in the Old and the New Testament to do when they draw near to Him. To have an invocation, that is calling down the presence and blessing of God upon the worship service. To have a call to worship, which is an authoritative call where the people of God are called by God Himself to come and to offer up unto Him what they owe Him, the services that He has commanded they bring. And then the benediction, which is the blessing which comes from God to the people of God, having obeyed the Lord and come in the form that He has prescribed to them. All of those things. Those are the elements of worship. Circumstances of worship are things that surround all human gatherings, all human actions, all human societies. So we have to have a time to meet. We have to have a place to meet. We have to have lighting because we're going to read. We have to have places to sit down or to stand or whatever decision it is that we make, which should be ordered according to our confession, according to the light of nature, Christian prudence, and the general rules of the word, which are always to be obeyed. And, you know, this is an example I give oftentimes, and everybody chuckles because it's against the light of nature. Everybody sees the folly of it when I say it. If the session decided, okay, the worship service on Sunday morning is now going to be at 2:30 a.m. Well, that's kind of against the light of nature, isn't it? I mean, we talked about earlier today coming in 15 minutes before the worship service, you know, to prepare ourselves. What would the success rate be if we tried that at 2:30 a.m.? Yeah, it'd be even worse. It'd be difficult, wouldn't it? That'd be very hard. Yeah. What if we said everybody's got to stand throughout the whole worship service? You know that that's not unknown in the history of the church. Okay? But as 21st century Westerners, we may not know how to handle that. Right? Okay, so we understand what the difference between elements and circumstances are. You know, if you're going to have a meeting of your, if you're going to have a conference, right? If you're going to have a meeting at your work, you have to have a place to meet. You have to have chairs. You have to have lights. You have to have a time to meet, and so on. All those things that are common to human actions and societies. All right. So the elements of worship are prescribed by God, and they are to be obeyed by Him or by us as we offer these things to Him. Because not only are they things that we're supposed to do, but they're offerings or services that we bring to Him. And that's why they must be according to His command. If the Lord, you know, if you go into a restaurant, and this is the other famous example, and you say to the waitress or the waiter, or sorry if I've offended anyone, to the wait person, and you say something like this, you say, I think I would like that, Waldorf salad. Okay, put the dressing on the side for me. Nice. Good choice, waiter says. Excellent. We have an excellent Waldorf salad here. 12 minutes later, the wait person comes back with a double bacon cheeseburger with extra mustard. And you say, hey, I didn't order that. I know you didn't order it, but I really like it, and so you should too. What are we going to say then? We're going to say it's not very good service, is it? Not good service. So why did the Lord break forth upon Uzzah that day? David will say later, because he's going to say this, the Lord made a breach upon us because we sought Him not after the due order. Okay, so that's what 2 Chronicles 13 teaches. It teaches us that sincerity is good. And let me say one more thing with regard to this, that let us remember that that if we were able, I'm not saying we are, but if we were able to develop out of Scripture with a perfect exegesis, a perfect worship service, with every particular element according to the Scriptures exactly as it should be, that would not be enough because we do them. And as soon as we take that which is perfect into our hands, it becomes tainted and infected with our own lack of perfection. Yet, let us also remember, what is it that a renewed heart desires above all else? It desires to please God according to His commands. And so a right heart wants a right way, and yet, even with that right way in his hand, brings it humbly and not haughtily, because as soon as it comes into our hands, we taint it. We render it imperfect because we are not and will never be in this life perfect offerers. Right? Okay. So what do we want then when we worship the Lord? We want hearts that are purified by faith, worshiping the Lord according to His commandments. That's the goal. That's the standard toward which we press whenever it is that we meet. And that's why we press preparation here. Hearts purified by faith. That is keeping, right? Keeping that John chapter 13, keeping the feet washed as we walk through this world. When we come in to worship the Lord, that we're not busied about with so many other things that we cannot give ourselves as living sacrifices to our God as we come to worship Him. Taking a few moments to prepare our hearts. Sometimes with greater, sometimes with less success. Because even in those preparations, we're not going to find that perfection that we seek, are we? All right. Well, that's 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Let's stand and continue praising God.